Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 47th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. My only co-host tonight is...
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at NaGeek14.
And we wanted to say real quick that Chris is not going to be here tonight because he is sick. So we are covering without him.
Welcome to the podcast. We'd like to thank everyone for a great response so far. And for those who have left reviews on iTunes, you can catch all of our previous shows on eduallstars.com/podcast or iTunes.
And we want to thank GoNoodle for sponsoring this episode of Edu All Stars. Here at Edu All Stars, we're all about using technology, and GoNoodle brain breaks are designed to help kids get their wiggles out, refocus the classroom, and stimulate learning in 5 minutes or less. We love using GoNoodle, if you want to go to our website, eduallstars.com, there is a link underneath this video that you can sign up for your free GoNoodle account today.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversations and hearing the things that stick out to you.
And we are very excited for this week's guest. This week's guest is Ryan Devlin. He currently teaches at Brockway Area High School, 11th grade British Literature, 8th grade Computer Science, and two high school electives, Creative Writing and Digital Media. And he was named the 2013 Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year and was recently a finalist for the National Teacher of the Year, as well as being named a PBS Learning Media Digital Innovator. So thank you, Ryan, for coming on with us tonight.
Hey, Todd Keenan. Thank you guys for having me tonight.
So, Ryan, where can people find you online?
I actually have the same username for Twitter and for Instagram and even for Pinterest and Facebook. It's just R-Y. Dev22. So RyDev22.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, the first thing we always like to hear from our guests, just a little bit about their background and how they ended up in education.
Well, you know, I actually come from a family with very few educators. Actually, my grandpa was a doctor, my dad is a doctor, my sister's a pharmacist. So I think when I made that announcement that I was going to be an English teacher, people were like, really? But, you know, I've actually always wanted to be a teacher. I fell in love with school in first grade. I had a teacher named Miss Workey who made coming to school really fun. And it was kind of funny because I was talking with some students that had her the other day, and they were saying, oh, I was Miss Workey's favorite teacher. No, I was Miss Workey's favorite teacher. And I said, sorry to break it to you guys, but I was Miss Workey's favorite teacher. And she just kind of had that lasting impact on me that made me just feel really special, and I loved coming to school. And since first grade, I have been thinking about being a teacher and daydreaming about what my classroom would look like. And there was really no other profession that I considered. It was in first grade that I made up my mind, and it spent a lot of my life thinking about when I have my own classroom, what it's going to look like, and how it's going to function.
Yeah. Now, let's go ahead and jump right into you winning the Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year Award last year. Now, can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Sure. Well, actually, every state has their own program to elect a state Teacher of the Year. And what's really great about the program is it's a really nice opportunity for teachers to be empowered to go out and represent teachers at a multitude of functions. And, you know, whenever you're named the state teacher of the year, you're by no means the best teacher per se in your state. But it's a really great opportunity for you to actually take some time out of your daily routine of teaching and to kind of get a different perspective on teaching and going out and talking to other places and even having some conversations with people that are in government and networking with the other state teachers of the year to do some really unique events. So when I got named the state teacher of the year in 2013, I've had just a whole, I guess, gamut of activities that I've been doing. I've been at a lot of conferences, been able to talk to a lot of different people about different educational topics, and it was just a really neat year because I've been so used to just, you know, being in my own classroom and teaching, and I've had a really great opportunity to get out and to see some different things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And even more recently, you went to D.C. and met the president, and you met Vice President Biden and Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, because you were a finalist for National Teacher of the Year. Now, what was all of that like?
That, you know, I guess there were so many parts of the week that were highlights for me. I was joined with all the other state teachers of the year, and that in itself is just a really incredible experience because everyone is is an expert at teaching, but we all have different strengths, and it's really kind of fun to get together and to have all of that positive energy just going around the room. But throughout the week, we had a lot of activities that we were doing. They were recognizing the work of great teachers, but the fact that we were all there, they were also utilizing our expertise, and we were doing some meetings at the Department of Education and talking about policy. And the finalists, the four of us, actually had an opportunity to sit down and to talk with Arne Duncan for an hour, which was really incredible because he was really open to feedback and was curious to hear about what we were doing.
So before the show, you know, we were talking, and you had said that you also got to spend some time talking to Vice President Biden's wife. And what was that like?
Yeah, well, you know, it was really neat. She actually had a reception for us at her house, and we were all gathered in there, and she came down the stairs, and everyone kind of stopped and was looking at her like, oh, she's arrived. And she was like, keep talking. You know, she wanted us to just enjoy the moment, and she actually had a lot of time where she went around and talked to all of us. I actually pulled out my Flat Stanley and got a picture of her with Flat Stanley and me. But it was really great. She put on a nice reception. She spent some time talking with all of us, and we were able to get her picture with us. But what I loved about it is she had an opportunity to get up in front of us all and speak. And there was a speech that was all written out. But you know what? She just talked from the heart. She talked about how much she appreciates teachers and how difficult she knows this work is, but how important that it is. She spent a little bit of time talking about her career as a teacher, and she still actually teaches at a community college. So it was really unique to hear a little bit about how much she appreciates teachers. So that was just a really great opportunity to network with her. And we also did some activities at the Department of Education where we were doing roundtable discussions and, you know, sitting in and talking to some policymakers about some issues that we thought as state teachers they should look into.
Well, I got to tell you, I was following along with the pictures on Instagram or the tweets that you're doing, and it was really cool to see the kind of things that you were getting to do and the kind of people you were getting to talk to and hopefully influence some of these things with education.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that was what was really great because I think as State Teachers of the Year, we've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of teachers within our state, and we had a really good pulse of some of the issues that we wanted to bring up when we had that opportunity to talk in the roundtables. And it was really exciting to think that, you know, the people that make all of our top decisions within education were, you know, sitting down with paper and pencil and taking down notes on everything that we had to say.
Well, and I read somewhere that your slogan is "Be all that you can be." How do you apply that? I've heard this slogan before, but how did that one stick out to you, and how do you apply that with your students?
You know, I love the slogan. I'm sure you've heard it in the Army commercials, "Be all that you can be." And for me personally, that means that we do all need to reach our full potential, but I think everyone has different gifts and strengths and talents and skills. And if we're truly enabling our students to be successful, we're using all of their strengths and skills and talents and pushing them in the right direction so that they can be all it is that they can be. And I think that really kind of feeds into how I teach in my classroom because I do a lot of personalized learning. Students aren't all taking the same assessment where they're sitting down and answering multiple choice questions. We're not all reading the same books or even writing about the same things. I really try to personalize the whole educational experience so that students are getting to really study their fields that interest them.
Now, being a high school student myself, I always want to know, how do you get your students excited about learning? Not that I'm not excited at school regularly, but how specifically do you do it?
Well, you know what, Keena, I think exactly about my days as a high school student, and I try to do everything that I didn't like that I saw my teachers do. For instance, I don't think that it's helpful if I lecture any more than like 10, 15 minutes. I feel like I've lost kids. I actually got rid of the podium in my room. Something else that I never liked was classroom textbooks. I thought most of the stories in them were boring, and I hated lugging around that textbook. So I don't use a textbook in my room. I created my own online. So I've just really tried to create a classroom that's different than, I guess, a regular classroom. I don't have my desks line up in rows. Whenever I go to start class, we're using lots of technology every day. It's a 100% paperless class, so we do a lot of online collaboration using Google tools and Moodle and a plethora of websites. And I think all about, you know, having the students do the subject rather than hear about it. I guess that's also one of my mantras.
Yeah, that's cool. You're also a connected educator, and you talked about technology. You're quite active on Instagram and now on Twitter as well. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your journey connecting with social media and what impact it's had on you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I think people use Twitter and Instagram for all different purposes, but it's kind of interesting. I do it for a mix. When I first got onto Twitter, I just followed a bunch of teachers, and I was really getting interested in all of the things that they were tweeting, and I was getting our ideas and looking at blogs. So for me, Twitter was just becoming a 100% professional development tool. At first, I had a lot of my friends on there, and then I just kind of limited it towards, you know, just getting on there so that I could read educational articles. And Instagram has been a lot of fun for me. I know it's kind of a different app that not everybody uses. I know it's really popular with my high school students. They love it, and they like to make fun of me sometimes for, like, oh, you use Instagram? It's for young people. Like, I'm still young. But they tease me about it because I love to post pictures of what we're doing in class, and I follow a lot of other teachers. And it's really fun to actually get a little picture to see, you know, what cool lessons people are doing that week. So I love to share things through that media as well.
Well, one of the things I read about you that I really admired and respected is the fact that you also are a mentor for the Big Brothers Big Sisters. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Actually, they sent around a letter to people in our community. I guess this was a couple years ago, you know, saying that they were going to have a meeting and they wanted to share a little bit of information about the program. So I decided to go. There was a free dinner involved as well. So I showed up. And I heard a lot about the program, and I guess what really got me to sign up for the program was I was thinking back about all of the great mentors that I had within my own life, my parents, so many teachers that I had, people that just kind of took me under their wing to help get me to where I am today. And to kind of pay back thanks to all of them, I decided that I wanted to be a big and to have a little that I could help mentor. And it's been a great process. Along the way, I've gotten some other people involved. My sister and her fiance are also now bigs in the program, and it's just really exciting to see them mentoring people as well because it's a really great program.
So what exactly does being a big brother and big sister entail?
Well, what they do is they go through a match process where they match you up with what we call a little, and the little could be in the program for a range of different reasons. It could be because they're from a lower socioeconomic status. It could be because they're having difficulty in subjects at school. Maybe they just don't do really well with making friends, or maybe they need a male or female role model in their life. There's a multitude of reasons that these students get put into these programs. But basically what you do is you just be a mentor for that student. You do the things that they love to do, whether it be, you know, playing video games together or go playing putt-putt golf or going to the movies. And, you know, even all the fun things that we do, we actually have a lot of great opportunities to sit and talk a little bit about life, which was kind of fascinating for me because my little, the first year that I started the program, was in fifth grade, and I've never, like, hung out with a fifth grader before, so it was a very educating experience for me just to learn all about, you know, what's cool in fifth grade and what it's like to be a fifth grader.
That's really cool.
That's awesome. And obviously, it's been a pretty big year for you, the last year. And so what do you think is the biggest thing that you've learned since then?
So many things that I've learned this year. But I'll tell you what, this is something I knew already before I've had the opportunity to travel around the state a little bit and even do some of the national Teacher of the Activities. But I'm just so appreciative of teachers because I've had opportunities to sit down and talk with teachers really all across our state and even some throughout the country. And I just hear about teachers that work so hard and have such big hearts. And it just makes me even more proud to say I'm a teacher after I've had these conversations with them and I've heard their stories, because we have so many phenomenal educators out there that we don't hear enough about. And that's one of the things that I do really enjoy about the State Teacher of the Year program and the National Teacher of the Year program, is it helps us to recognize every year teachers and put that spotlight on somebody, but for that person to also share that spotlight and really highlight what it is we're all about.
Now, Ryan, can you think of an interaction that you've had with a student or a parent that will stick with you for a lifetime?
You know, I guess probably the best thing that I hear from parents is when they haven't even yet had one of their students that have come into my classroom, but they say to me, I can't wait for you to be my son's or my daughter's teacher. For me personally, that just says a lot, because that means that they've heard about what kind of teacher I am, and I'm really involved within our community too, so it's a compliment that really means a lot to me. But I guess I've had a lot of experiences, you know, talking with parents, and I think one of the things that they always appreciate after a student leaves my class that we often have conversations about is some of the global issues that we study in class. You know, I've been talking a lot this year about different things that, that plague people across the country, whether it be, you know, water sanitation issues or malaria, global hunger. We've been reading about some of these issues and writing about them, and it's just really great conversations that I have with kids because they don't always often think about that kind of stuff.
I agree. I think that's awesome that you're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you clearly had a pretty successful career so far. Now, is there a moment in your career where you look back and there's something that you're just really proud of accomplishing?
That I'm really proud of specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? This is kind of twofold here. I look back on my first year when I pull out some of the assessments that I made, and I look back and go, wow, I was a terrible teacher my first or second year, third year. So in terms of something that I'm proud of, I'm really proud of how much I've grown. This is going to be my seventh year in the classroom, and you know, I've gotten my master's in the meantime and have been involved with so many different professional development committees and so forth that I just feel like I'm getting better at this teaching thing, and you know, I'm going to continue to get better as well, but I'm really proud of the fact that that I'm committed to getting better.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, if I were to ask somebody to describe you in three words, what are three words that you hope that person would use about you?
Probably a word I get a lot is creative. We could use the word tech savvy because I'm always big into tech savvy. And kids will probably tell you that I'm pretty friendly. They don't generally see a mean Mr. Devlin.
Now, what are some of the creative things that you do in your classroom that probably make you stand out against other teachers?
Well, you know, one of the things that I mentioned earlier is that I don't use a textbook and I don't use multiple choice assessments. So I create all of my own material. And it becomes really an adventure for me when I'm taking the state standards and figuring out how I can find a creative way to teach this. And I get inspiration from just anywhere that I go. If you want to watch an innovative lesson, I actually was featured on the Teaching Channel a couple weeks ago. If you just search Ryan Devlin. Yeah, that was one of my fun units that I did where students did a biography research project and dressed up as the person. But a couple of my favorite units to teach, I've got a bunch, but one of them I love is Celebrity Apprentice. If you've seen the show with Donald Trump, students are actually getting into groups and they're paired up and they get writing assignments and they have to collaborate and work together. And then they come in front of, you know, the president of the board, which is me, and we really critique their writing and kind of make it a fun game. You know, I think there's so many opportunities that we have with technology and all the things that we can do within our classroom that aren't so standardized to make it fun.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah. And is there a really good book or blog or something that you're reading right now that you would recommend to others?
You know what? I don't have like a specific blog that I'm dedicated towards. I'm constantly reading just kind of whatever pops up on my news feed. But I'll tell you, probably a really popular one that most people have come across that I just love is anything that Ken Robinson puts out. He's got one of the most viewed TED Talks of all time on TED, and most people have seen those, but I've actually read both of his books, and I come back to them all the time because I took so many notes, because he really believes what I believe, that we need to help students be creative. He talks a lot about, you know, helping every single kid, and I love the story he talks about this boy named Matt. I don't know if you've heard the story, but Matt, in class, was a huge class clown. He was always making people laugh. He was doodling on all of his tests. He was by no means what was considered a successful student. But he had a teacher that came along and said, Matt, you know what? You're really good at drawing, and you're really funny. You need to find a way to put these two things together. And Matt Groening ended up writing the comedy The Simpsons and became really, really successful. And I think that's such a powerful story because it shows us that no matter what your skills or expertise are, there's something meaningful that you can do with them. And he's all about creating classrooms that do just that, which is why I love his work.
Now, looking back 5 or 10 years, what is a piece of advice that you would go back and give yourself?
Well, you know, everybody says this, but say no once in a while. You know, as that first-year teacher, it's very easy to go into the game and to, you know, say, oh, yes, I'll sign up to coach this, or oh, I'll be on the committee for this. And I know I've spent a lot of time in those activities that maybe kept me away from doing some of the other things that I needed to be doing my first year. But if I was trying to give advice to somebody that's starting fresh in the classroom, I would say to them, don't feel like you need to teach the way that your teachers taught to you. Same thing with the content. I think so many times I see student teachers come into the field and they almost are kind of mimicking the experience that they had in high school, and I think we need to redefine it and to use the technology and to not be afraid to be innovative and bold and different. So that's some advice that I would have given to myself my first year even still, because I did a few things my first year that were not so fun, that were probably very much old school.
I think we all did.
Yeah.
Well, oh man, I just went blank. Oh, I had a really good question. Go ahead, Keegan.
We've talked about what you've done, all these great accomplishments you've had, and everything about you, but what's something that you're really passionate about right now?
I don't know if you guys know about this, but I'm really passionate about running. That's something for me that's just a really great stress release. I started it in college, and I actually got really, I guess you could use the word, addicted to it. And since then, I've started coaching cross country at my school because we didn't have one then. And I don't know, that's a thing that you'll find me doing quite often outside of school.
So have you ran a marathon or anything yet?
Yeah, I've done 2 marathons at Pittsburgh. And then this past year, instead of doing the full marathon, I did the relay. And my family did it, and I was able to run along with my mom when she finished a leg of the relay. So it was just a really great experience. And everyone that I meet, I try to encourage them to start running. I have a couple other friends who've told me, oh, I'd like to run, I'd like to get into it. So I'm already working with them and getting them a training plan, and I'm going to sign up and run a race with them too. So be careful. If somebody doesn't like running after they hang out with me for a while, I'll get them into it.
Well, Ryan, we wanted to thank you so much for joining us tonight, letting us get to learn a little bit about you and hear your story.
Yeah, you guys, thank you so much for having me.
And for those of you that are listening, we wanted to remind you of the ways that you can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ or using the hashtag EduAllStars. Our website where you can watch all 47 episodes as EduAllStars.com/podcast. And you can also search us out on iTunes by searching EduAllStars with no spaces.
And make sure to join us next Monday, May 19th, as we interview White House Champion of Change, Jenny Majoria, at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then Monday, May 26th, we have Jennifer Lagarde on at 8 p.m.
And we also want to make sure we thank Go Noodle for sponsoring this podcast. They make a great product, and we really encourage you to go to eduallstars.com and sign up for your free Go Noodle account today. Thanks again, Ryan, and we will see you around and hope you have a great evening.
Hey, guys, have a great year.
Yeah, thanks.